to suggest that Jerusalem, such a small city, in such a small country, should be the future world capital, you may find a little strange. You know, there are much bigger countries, bigger cities. Perhaps think, no, that sort of is the sort of place that you'd have as a capital for the whole of the world. But the Bible tells us that the future world capital will be in Israel, and it will be Jerusalem. Today, most countries don't even like to accept that Israel says that its capital is Jerusalem. They place their embassies in the country in Tel Aviv rather than have them represented in Jerusalem. For most of the countries, we know that, I think it was last year, wasn't it, the United States opened a new embassy in Jerusalem, but that's all. But yeah, most countries still sort of keep their distance and have their embassy in Tel Aviv. But the time will come when every nation will acknowledge that there is one and only one capital city, capital city of Jerusalem. It's known today as Jerusalem, but it has had other names in the past. You find it referred to in the Bible as the city of David, as Zion. In the verses that we read, we read that they go up to the mountain of the Lord. I'm using a slightly different version from what Michael read from. I'm using the authorized version. And as they say, that come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, where there is the house of the God of Jacob. And again, they also use Zion as another name in the next verse down. But the time will come when Jerusalem will be declared as the capital. We're told that at that time, as we've read in those verses, everybody will want to go to learn of what is happening there and what is being told from there for the rest of the world. Came to pass in the last days, it shall come to pass, I should say, in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations will flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Yes, the law will go from Zion, from Jerusalem. They will, there it will be, the source, and that it will be, as we've heard, sung in the hymn, the Lord Jesus, who will be the one who reigns. It will be him. And as we It was said in a talk I had this week. It won't be like you have over here, a democracy. It'll be one person. One person giving the commandments, giving the law. But whereas normally that can be a very dangerous thing, and we only need to think of places, say in Africa, where there is a dictatorship, as it is called, and it's not a good thing. But this will be different. This will be different, because he will teach us of his ways, and the law will go out, and the word of the Lord will go from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people. But the result is that they will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up war or sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Yes, the word that goes out will be a fair word. It will be a righteous word that goes out. It will be one that shows to those around that this is something different. This is someone different. And because of what is happening, because of what he is leading, whereas dictatorships so often stockpile and increase their weapons so that they can control their people, here instead they will beat their swords into plowshares. So they'll beat the swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. They will be a peaceful time. All because one man is there in Jerusalem. And it's just not just any person. This is someone who has returned. He's come back because this is the Lord Jesus, who at present is the right hand side of God. At present time, he is in heaven waiting for the instruction to come and to take the throne, to reign from Jerusalem. And as they do so, the people will learn, as Micah said, similar words to Isaiah, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us of his ways, we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off." But neither will they learn war any more, but they will sit, every man under his vine and under his fig tree. None shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. This isn't something that's going to happen, that's going to become the king, and then after a few years, everything revert back. It's going to be forever and ever. It will continue. It will continue. Because the Lord will say, I am returned unto Zion. I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called, a new name for it, the City of Truth. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. As that's what will happen. That's what it will come, because the Lord has returned to dwell there. He will live in the middle of the city, as it puts it, that he'll be there very much in control. And when he comes, things will be a little different. Even the natural land around the area will be different. It's the same writer as I just quoted from Zechariah in chapter 14 that says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward east and west, and there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and half of it towards the south. So there's going to be an earthquake that is going to split that mountain, that will also have the effect of lifting up the city of Jerusalem, it would appear. And yet, it is from there that there will be this one person giving royal judgment, righteous judgment. And when this happens, they'll flee to the mountains. They'll flee to the valley of the mountains. It'll be an event that at this time is sort of referred to, it's likened to the earthquake in the days of Uzziah. That was about 240, 250 years before this was written. So even 250 years later, it was an event which was memorable, which was the people that heard knew and remembered, and how frightening that was. But it is at that place that it will come, that the future world capital. And so you see, there is this great event that is going to take place. Jesus will come back to this earth. When he will then, from Jerusalem, reign not just over the land of Israel, but over the whole of the land as well, the whole of the world. And it's the prophet Joel that says, "Proclaim ye this among the nations. Prepare war. Make up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat their plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." So there is going to be a time of war. After all, the dictator is saying that he's going to rule the world. And which nation is going to happily sort of say, yes, take my authority away from me. At first, they will want to keep their own power. "Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat." Mm. The valley of Jehoshaphat is Jerusalem. "For there will I sit to judge all the nations round about." Yes, these people wanting to make war are called to this place for judgment. "There will I sit to judge all the nations round about. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full and the fats overflow. For the wickedness is great, their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. But Judah shall abide or dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation." Yes, there's going to be a war, but from that there will come peace. A peace that will see the setting up of Jerusalem as that city, that future world capital. And it is from there that you, because of what happens, that so shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. And then shall Jerusalem be holy. That time in the future. But that's an unknown sort of time. It's in the future. We can't say just when. I'm not going to try now to show, but it is, as we look around us, we see that there are plenty of things in this world that need putting right. There is plenty of things both with man and with nature because of what man has done that has caused loss of some things and real problems elsewhere. And the time is going to come when I think the earth is going to need, it's going to be crying out for something to happen. And that time isn't far off. That time is in the near future, I would suggest. But there is an eternal future as well. There is another future, as it were, that once all this that I've said, been talking about has happened, there will be another great happening. And it is the picture that is given in Revelation that says that I saw a new heaven. This is John writing and speaking. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. We've read similar to those verses in the quotations that we've taken from the Old Testament, haven't we? God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God promises a time when there will be peace, when there will be no tears, when there will be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no more pain. Because everything that was before has been done away with. God gives you, offers eternal life, but it's not in a world like that of today. Things will have changed. Things will have changed. But to be in a position where we may receive that eternal life, we need to, first of all, do something else. We need to believe. We need to believe that what the Bible tells us is going to happen will happen. There's no point in sitting back saying, yeah, I'll believe it if I see it. No. You need to believe. Once you've seen it, you don't need to believe, because it's there. It's obvious. So this is, you need to believe, which means you need to do something now. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn or to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It talks of those who believed, that he that believes, and also he that believes not. See, there's only the two choices. You either believe or you don't. The hope is only for those who do believe. So the question is, do you believe? Do you believe? He that believeth, said Jesus, and is baptized, shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. The sign of belief is baptism. It's either you believe and therefore you become baptized, or if there is no drive for baptism, then I put it to you that there's no belief. And so the question that I ask now is, quite simply, do you believe? Do you? Paul did, and because of that, he could say, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that have loved his appearing. So the question, as I say, is, do you believe? And also, do you love his appearing?